And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he the woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, wow, that's what he said. I know that's what he said. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of me, man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They didn't have to wear clothes back in those days. We were covered with the glory of God. That was our clothing. We were covered with the glory of God, so we didn't need clothes. Then in Genesis 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, and the serpent said unto the woman, we could have done a whole lot better if this critter hadn't been loosed on us, you know that? But you know, God made him too. And you know, when you look and see people say, you know, I don't believe God would put us to the test. Hey, he started out at the very beginning. This is the first test for the first man and woman right here. And they failed it. And of course, he tests us all through the scriptures. He tests all of us. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You notice there he used a little g, right? Psalms 82:6. And he says, I have said, you are gods, and all of your children of the Most High. Now see there, you notice that's got a little g too. So when he made us, he made us the gods of this planet. Is that right? He made us gods. We don't see ourselves as gods, do we? But we are. We're little gods. We're sons of God, especially after what Jesus did. Then let's go to John 10:34 and 35, and let's see when he's referring to this scripture right here. John 10:30. Jesus answered, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he said, I am gods, then the Most High God called us gods. Is that right? So you need to realize that we are gods. And he says, and if he, God, called them gods, talking about us, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. If it's written in that book, you can take it to the bank. It will work. Isn't that something? For years and years and years, I could not see that. But as I read these things and read these things and read these things, when I come over to the New Testament, I realize I'm not just a God of the Old Testament now. I am better. I am a son of God in the New Covenant because of what Jesus did, right, Lou? Now then, I'm better. Somebody says, oh, you're an angel. No, I ain't no angel. I'm better than an angel. I'm a son of God. The angels don't have nothing to do with the power that we as sons of God have, right? So we need to see ourselves as true sons of God. When you see yourself as a son of God after what Jesus did on that cross, that's when you can go up at the airport and lay your hands on a man's leg that's got steel in there and command it to turn into flesh and bone. And it happens. Don't you love that? I love that. I mean, I think about that day as I knew my dominion and my authority and my power after what Jesus had done for me on that cross, and I had become a son of God when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. The day that that man called me on Daystar and his wife had left him and the children, and I went to the throne of grace. I kicked the devils of hell out of that woman, asked the Lord my God to move upon his heart, bring her back into the kingdom of God, save her, let her husband be the one to lead her into the kingdom, but if he's not the right one, then send the right one. And I praise him and thank him. And then I said, son, I guarantee your wife will come home. Well, the next Friday night he called me again because he didn't know how to get in touch with me nowhere except on the TV station. When he called, he said, Mr. Scrivener, I got to tell you what happened. He said, within an hour after you prayed, my wife called me and wanted me to come down to the club, the strip club where she'd been dancing, and pick her up and bring her home. And he said, I went down and got her. She said it was like scales fell off of her eyes and she could see. And she wondered, what am I doing in this place? He said, I went down and picked her up and brought her home. And he said, the next day we went and got a marriage license. He said, we went and got married. And he said, now this has been the most blessed week of my life. My wife has come home and she's got saved and we got remarried. I said, well, how long had your wife been gone? I thought a couple of days. He said, she'd been gone 14 years. How much dominion and authority and power do we have? What do we do with that? What do we do with this dominion and authority and power that God has given us in the church? Oh, we go along crying, I can't do nothing. Well, get over your pity party. You know, start believing the word of God. That's just like when people come to me and want to get rid of an addiction. You know, drugs, alcohol, you name it. I read that scripture in Joel 2:32. And it makes you an awesome promise, Joel 2:32. It might come to pass. Is that what it says? Now, what does it say? And it shall come to pass that whosoever, and you're whosoever? Yeah. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus, maybe you'll be delivered. Oh, that's not what it said, huh? It says, it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Is that what it said? That's what it said. We do not believe the dominion and power and authority that we've been given by our Savior after what He done by coming in the flesh and becoming a man. We just don't believe Him. But Jesus even said, if He called them gods, He's talking about that Psalms 82:6, if He called them gods unto whom the Word of God came, the Scripture cannot be broken. So under the old covenant, we were little gods. But under the new covenant, we're sons of God, right? Jesus is our brother. Is that right? Yeah. I can't think of a better place than have Jesus as my brother. And He's always with me, and He's promised to never forsake me or leave me, did He? No, never. He's always there. It don't matter what I get into. He's always there wanting me to do what's right. And He wants me to accept my dominion and my authority and my power. He wants me to walk with Him. He don't want me to walk with the devil. Let's go to Genesis 3, verses 9 through 24. Look at what happened to us when we fell. It's kind of like, let's say I was your daddy, and I was worth millions of dollars, and I had this giant mansion, and you had a big suite up in it, you know, with Maserati or Ferrari or something like that. And I had two of them in the garage for you, not just one, two different colors, so you could drive one on different days that had different color. I mean, just everything. You could have anything you wanted. Can you imagine ever leaving a place like that? But, you know, we do it all the time. We have better than that as sons of, and daughters of God. And we walk away from God and go out there into the swamp land and walk in the muck this deep and suck it in every once in a while. The crud of the world. What makes us do that? We have never really learned our dominion and our authority. We've never learned who we are in Christ. You know, we've heard this, yeah, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of the King, but it really has never become a revelation to you that you're living in the big house with your daddy and your brother Jesus, and anything you want is yours. Anything. And you want to turn away from that and go out and dig in the garbage can? I don't think so. You know, I mean, if I give you that picture, you'd say, nobody would ever do that. But we do it all the time. People that profess to be Christians leave the Father's house and go out into the junk of the world and live out there in the world. And, of course, that's where sickness, disease, torment, demons, and everything else is. And you get beat up on out there with the devil. Seemed like I read somewhere in that same chapter of John 10 a while ago that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you're going to leave the house over here, and you're going to go out there in that world where he's out there stealing, killing, and destroying? I ain't going out there. You can go out there if you want to. I ain't going, folks. I'm going to stay over here in this house with my daddy where I got plenty to eat and I got comfortable bed to sleep in every night and I don't have to worry about somebody coming in and killing me on the street. And the Lord said, God called unto Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now that when we're in the house with Daddy today, when we're walking in total obedience to His Word, Daddy comes down every day and talks with us. He wants to show us good things. He gets us in His Word. You'll hear His voice. He'll talk with you. I mean, it's wonderful to hear Daddy talk to you. Now, if you're off out there in the devil's world, he's going to be over saying, son, you need to come home. We don't listen to him, do we? We just stay out there and we wonder why all the bad things happen to us. All this dominion and power has been given to us. Verse 11 and 12. And he said, who told thee that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you shouldest not eat? And the man says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Wow, that sounds just like us today, doesn't it, guys? We always want to put the blame on somebody else, right? I mean, that woman, she's the one that caused the problems, Lord. Get her. After all, you the one that gave her to me, Lord. I didn't go out looking for her. You gave her to me. I mean, is the man taking any of the responsibility? Not at all. I mean, he's just like us. We hadn't changed a bit. Oh, goodness. But I did eat it when she gave me the fruit. I ate it. Okay, verse 13 and 14. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. Now, she ain't going to take that responsibility either, is she? No. Oh, goodness gracious. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed. Now, boy, this is the beginning of the curse. You are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head. He's talking about Jesus there. And you shall bruise his heel. Upon the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that curse, I've never met a woman that liked that curse. I mean, I've seen women scream, especially if it's their first or second child. I've seen women scream to the top of their lungs. I mean, I've been in the hospital whenever there was women there going to have a baby, and I'm telling you, you could hear them scream to the top of their lungs. When Amanda had her first baby, I prayed over her, broke the curse over her, and prayed that the Lord would let her have that child with virtually no pain. And do you know, I stood right there beside my daughter until Caitlin was fixing to come out. And then I went out, and not one time, not one, did Amanda ever scream. She tightened her cheeks a couple of times, you know, but she never screamed. Not one time. The little girl next door was screaming bloody murder. And she said, Daddy, why is she so screaming? I said, because her daddy don't know what your daddy knows about the Word of God. I said, I've broke the curse. I have exercised my dominion and my authority, and you're my baby. And so I'm breaking this curse over you, and I'm asking my God to release the pain where you can have this little baby with virtually no pain. And she had Caitlin with almost no pain. You have to believe God, and you have to believe the dominion and the authority and power that He's given you as a son of God.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop right here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Why Did Jesus Become a Man? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.